Well, if you're saved and you show it, say amen. And it's wonderful to be at PFYC this year. Appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this. Appreciate all the labor and the hard work of the board. Amen. These great men and their wives and all the work that goes into this. Didn't Brother Meadow do a tremendous job? Amen. Very difficult subject to address, but I believe we heard from the Lord. Godly counsel. Amen. I'm going to take my text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, verse 21 and 22. We are admonished great things in this chapter, in these few verses, to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. But then it gets down to verse 21. He said, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. I want you to go with me in your mind right now and imagine a world without consequences. An environment where compromise and conscience don't even exist. A place where you can be anything you wish and do anything your heart desires without the worry of what it might cost you. You can commit any crime without restitution, kill and be killed, but continue to live forever, play God with humanity, build societies and rule over them, design your own lovers, flirt with devils and play with darkness without the fear of demon possession. You can evade law enforcement and use a simple code to change your life for the better. Create your own kingdoms and reign as Lord. And then if you're not liking the way things are going, you can simply push a reset button and start it all over again. Welcome to the world of gaming. I'm here to talk about the media of gaming today. And I thought Brother Meadow likened social media so well to a knife, a tool. You know, all media is a tool, young people. How many knows a tool has a place? But tools can be very dangerous, but very effective. Social media can be likened to a knife, and there's a lot of young men running around with pocket knives, and that can be a good thing. A lot of great uses in knives and preparing food, and a lot of great uses, but very dangerous as well. Just one slip of the knife and you can lose a finger. But also, I thought about another venue of media is video media. That kind of takes it to another level of danger. There's still uses. We're using some slot of video media today because of the size of this congregation. But also, it can be likened to a loaded handgun. Very dangerous. You wouldn't just put a loaded pistol in the hand of a child, of a juvenile. Very dangerous. Media is a tool. Has its place, but it's dangerous. But gaming is a whole different level. I began to try to think about the pros of gaming. There's a lot of great uses in these different areas of media. But the media of gaming can be likened to a live hand grenade. Would you give your child a live hand grenade and just turn them loose with it? I dare say you wouldn't. Explosives can be a very effective tool. Many of us drove, amen, because of explosives that cleared the mountain and cleared the path we drove into Pigeon Forge this weekend. It has its place. But can I say to you, the advancement of technology of gaming has masked the evolution of the depravity of the game. The game has advanced in technology so much that we've not really noticed that it's advanced in evil as well. What started out to be confined in arcade rooms and restaurant corners has now crept into our lives, into our homes, into our pockets, into ladies' purses, and even into the palms of our hands. Gaming is very much a part of our life, and we can't get away from it. I'm here to talk three things today. Amen. Gaming does a lot of things, but the Lord led me to focus on three things. Gaming and the destruction of reality. Gaming and the destruction of relationships. And gaming and the destruction of our resistance to evil. Gaming has created the opportunity for us to step out of reality and into a fun-filled world of entertainment. Come aside and take a few minutes To pull out your cell phone and grab an app and play, clear your head and just rest a while and step into that world of gaming. But what starts as a moment to get away from the mundane reality of our day can very easily lead to an addiction. We have a lot of media that is changing our life and changing reality in the way our lives carry on. Brother Meadow covered so well social media, how it's taking the reality of that face-to-face conversation. A Snapchat deletes history and you don't even know what was said. I'm talking about the reality of consequences, young people. Our media is changing the reality of consequence. With role-playing games and fantasy games, games like The Sims where you can play God and rule and Warcraft and then just the fact of resetting the game, life's not really like that. You can't push the reset button in life. When you make a bad decision, the next morning when you wake up with a feeling of guilt, you can't just push a reset button. That's not real. That's not reality. But we have a society who has destroyed reality through media, and especially through gaming media. Let me ask you, have you ever done something on a video game that you would have never done in real life? Can we get just down to where we're living today? Have you ever broken a law on a video game? Come on, gamers, think about it. Have you ever broken one of God's laws? One of God's commandments? You know, it's really no strange thing and no small wonder that we have a generation that is caught up in movies the way they are and aren't afraid to plaster it all over the place and tell their favorite movie on Facebook, brother, because they have been so desensitized. You see, you know, Hollywood has a way of desensitizing humanity. And it used to be preachers preached against the theater, preached against movies and the movie house, and still do, amen. Praise God. Preached against Hollywood because Hollywood desensitizes humanity. But gaming has taken that numbing effect to a whole different level. You're no longer sitting down and watching somebody break God's law, but you can enter into the game mode yourself and become a part of it. I say Hollywood has desensitized humanity, but really Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo have well surpassed Hollywood in desensitizing America to violence, to sexual perversion, to addiction. The world of gaming has brought the entertainment of violence, crime, gore, sex, and perversion from the second person position of just watching to the first person position of doing, of entering into that game mode. I'm here to say this morning, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings by any means, but if Hollywood has slain its thousands, gaming has slain its 10,000s. When it comes to desensitizing our young people and numbing the masses. There was a writer for CNN, a spokesperson for CNN State of the Union, was talking about violence and talking about young people going into schools and blowing fellow classmates away with loaded weapons. And he said, could the popularity of first-person shooter video games, violent movies and TV shows that glorify killing have desensitized Americans? There might well be some direct connection between people who have some mental instability, and when they go over the edge, they transport themselves and become part of one of their video games. They forget where to draw the line of reality. They're so used to doing whatever they want in the video game world without consequence that somewhere along the way when they get mad at the schoolmate, somewhere along the way when their girlfriend dumps them and they get angry or there's restitution to be made, there's revenge, there's vengeance, that the line is blurred of where reality really exists. And they think they can take a life into their own hands. And there will be no consequence. Now, what I said about Hollywood I'm not trying to take up for Hollywood in any means. I'm not trying to take up for videos and movie watching, but I feel that many holiness people have strained at a gnat and swallowed a camel, really because of ignorance. We've preached out movies right out of the home, but then we buy our children video games that are the equivalent of a rated R movie or worse. And now a generation has grown up and indulges in the agenda of Hollywood because they've seen through the veil of a double standard. You should know what you're buying Junior for Christmas. Hello? If it's rated T, it's the equivalent of an R-rated movie. If it's rated M, it's the equivalent of an X-rated movie. Do your research, parents. Be the parent. Say no once in a while. Hey, man. It's just a two-letter word. Young people, draw a line. Hey, man, of what you're going to partake in. Well, I've heard people say, well, I can play some T-rated games or M-rated games because it's just language. And I can turn down the volume. Can you turn down the volume on violence? Can you turn down the volume on the sexual perversion? You may not be hearing, but you're watching. It's entering the eye gate, and it's destroying the reality of consequences. The reality of the consequences of sin. Oh, hallelujah. And anytime we destroy consequences, it's bad for morale. Amen. It changes everybody's a character and the way they treat other people. When there's no consequences, people treat people differently. Amen. Anytime we destroy reality, we will destroy relationships. They will be affected. We have a generation that is caught up in media and in the gaming world. Now, I'm not just here today to preach on console gaming. I realize, I've already said it's a tool. There can be some good things that come from it. The development of a young mind and learning how to work through scenarios and go through levels. I realize all that, but there's so many dangers. We have to be educated. We have to be prepared. We have to do our research and be careful. And young people, we have to set some boundaries of what we're going to partake in. Just because it's a video game. Well, it's not a movie, so I can do whatever. No, be careful. Let your conscience scream out. Let God govern you. Let the Holy Ghost speak to you. Don't override that conscience. Be numbed by the gaming world. I can tell there's some that's already turned me off this morning. Hallelujah. You know, it's been more than once that I've went to a restaurant or been visiting with friends. And my children would try to talk to their children, try to build a relationship, a friendship as we travel. And you look over and everybody's got a handheld device. Sitting at a dinner table, everybody's playing Angry Birds or playing Flappy Bird. What's the deal with birds, man? You got a fatuation with birds. Playing some kind of media, some kind of game, Candy Crush or whatever. Hey, man, caught up in gaming, losing face-to-face time, as Brother Meadow so already covered so well. Amen. The destruction of relationships. You know, my father-in-law shared a story of he was doing some work in a house as a carpenter, and there was a young man, a young 20-year-old man, sitting there playing online gaming, Call of Duty online. He was so caught up into the moment. His girlfriend came in. They had a date already scheduled. She came in. She had fixed herself all up, and she was ready to go. She came over, and he was right in the middle of it. She began to press him and urge him, come on, let's go. We're going to be late. We're going to miss our reservation. We're going to miss our appointment. He didn't want to lose his slot. He didn't want to lose his position in the online play. If he paused it, they would play on without him, and he would lose his level. And so he kept putting her off. Finally, in frustration, my father-in-law was amazed. I'm talking about somebody from a previous generation looking at the social interaction of this generation. He said, I was amazed as that girl was frustrated and went ahead and left and went out to dinner by herself. And a young 20-year-old man sat there and continued to play a video game instead of going on a date with his girlfriend. That's a sad situation. The destruction of relationships. The tearing down of that one-on-one. Now, you know, I don't want to degrade this pulpit in any way. But in my studies on gaming, I ran across something that blew my mind. The latest craze, especially with online gamers, if they pause that game and they get up to go to the restroom or to go get a drink or whatever, they lose that. Everybody else keeps playing without them. And if they get killed on that game, then they lose points. And so in order not to lose points or lose prestige or position, the latest craze of young people and even 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds is to go to Walmart and to buy a pack of Depends and put on adult diapers while they're playing a video game. I thought, there ain't no way that's true. I began to do research and I found a blog titled, I Wear Diapers and Play Video Games. Bless your heart. One young man wrote this title, he wrote this blog entry in March 7th, 2012. I can say that I've moved on from Black Ops to Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 and I love the game. I can also say that I've gotten used to using diapers in a variety of situations rather than rushing to the bathroom at every urge hoping to make it. That's pathetic. Can I say it again? That's pathetic. I had a pastor tell me that his young adult men in his church were partaking in this. Pentecostal holiness, young adult men. I'm talking about 25-year-old men who are married. He said they're partaking in buying adult diapers so they don't lose their position and their prestige in online play. Another gamer entered on September 21st, 2011. He titled his blog entry, Can't Go Until I Win. He said, I love playing Xbox while I'm diapered. Woo. But most time, if I'm playing and I have to go, then I tell myself that I'm not allowed to go in my diaper until I win the match. Usually I'm playing Call of Duty, so sometimes it can be hard to hold it for that long. That is warped. That's not the way we're supposed to be. That's not the way we're supposed. You're talking about the destruction of reality. I'm talking about the destroying of relationships. Amen. You're not even playing in reality. You're not even doing something that's going to matter 15 minutes from now. Nobody's going to care how many levels you beat. Nobody's going to care. You say, well, that's extreme. I'll never get there. You don't realize how easy you can get addicted to gaming. I had a preacher friend tell me. I told him this would remain anonymous. A preacher friend of mine told me recently how he accidentally got addicted to Candy Crush. I mean, he knows what Candy Crush is. He said, I didn't even realize it. I would switch from my cell phone. When I ran out of lives, I'd grab my iPad. When I ran out of lives on that, I would grab my iPod. I'd go grab my wife's cell phone. He said, I got to where I was driving down the road one day and I pulled over because my life's renewed and I began to play. And I realized I'm addicted. I'm talking about something that began as just a relaxing moment to get away. Hello? A relaxing moment just to take a few minutes here and get my mind off what's going on and just play a little game. But the addiction of it. The addiction of it. He said, I had to ask God, forgive me. And I deleted the app off of everything I had because I realized I was addicted. You know, Psalms 90 and verse 12, the psalmist said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There's a lot of wasting of time that goes on with gaming. Destroying time that we could use to build relationships, to build friendships, to impact a world that's dying, lost, and going to hell. The wasting of time that's spent hours playing a video game, playing a video game, an app game, a junk game on a cell phone. The hours that are spent. How many hours are spent reading your Bible? How many hours are spent making a relationship with somebody in a friendship that's going to change their life for the better? are in a dilemma. I know a husband that got the shock of his life when he received his cell phone bill at the end of the month, only to realize that there was hundreds of dollars of charges where his wife had clicked that little 99-cent button on her cell phone games to buy more lights when you run out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hundreds of dollars spent. You say, how can a video game destroy a relationship? I'm sure everybody or most of us have heard the craze of Flappy Birds. There was a husband and wife who got a divorce over Flappy Birds. True story. There was a teenage boy in an Asian household who got so mad at his teenage brother for beating his level on Flappy Birds. He kept pestering him while he was trying to get the high score, and this younger sibling got the high score and beat him by 17. In his anger and rage, she pulled out a knife and stabbed his younger brother 17 times. Stabbed him to death because of a video game. I'm talking about the destruction of relationships. How easily it can progress into a place where you don't even realize you're there. Can I tell you that we are living in a day and hour where there's a virus of violence in our society? There was a lieutenant, a retired lieutenant colonel named Dave Grossman, retired career Army soldier. He wrote a book titled On Killing. It tells how the Army had a dilemma after World War II. They began to study their soldiers and study the war and realize that those young men who were drafted and put in that position, when it came time for them to engage with the enemy, when they seen that man, they had a hard time pulling the trigger. Only 15 to 20% were able to fire on the enemy. When put face to face, even if it meant saving their life or saving the life of their comrades, there is an indwelling desire in that God put in us not to harm humanity. God put a little switch in us. It's called a conscience. Not to do harm to humanity. And they could not override that. And so the Army realized we have a problem. And so through conditioning tactics implanted by the Army, they desensitized their soldiers. And when Vietnam rolled around several years later, that firing rate rose from 15 to 20% to 90 and 95%. And this retired lieutenant colonel tells how in World War II, when they were training, they shot at bullseyes. But when they began to train years later to desensitize those soldiers to where they didn't think twice to take a life, they began to shoot at silhouettes and lifelike images. This soldier, Mr. Dave Grossman, tells how in the 70s and 80s, the Army was using video game type training to desensitize their special forces soldiers to where they were not afraid to pull the trigger to destroy a life, even civilians, flipping up silhouettes and targets of mothers with babies in their arms. And they were not afraid when it came time to pull the trigger. He goes on to say, what makes this generation different when it comes to violence? Guns have always been in households in America. Thank God. Amen. But he said, what makes this generation bring guns to school when their parents never did? Is the systematic process of defeating the God-given resistance to violence against another human being. Through video game entertainment, society has desensitized the generation with the same training tactics that the Army desensitized their soldiers to violence. He goes on to say, we have taken the safety catch off of our nation just as surely and easy as we would take the safety catch off a loaded gun, and with the same results. Can I tell you, gaming will destroy our resistance to evil? Oh, hallelujah. Gaming will destroy our resistance to violence. our resistance to perversion, our resistance to the forces of evil. We are experiencing a virus of violence in our society. Just the other day, I seen a young teenage girl with a t-shirt. It looked like the Subway emblem and slogan. It looked like the Subway logo. You know how Subway's got their logo on the bottom. It says, "Eat Fresh." Have you ever seen that? Subway, Eat Fresh. As she got closer, I realized the Subway was replaced by Zombie. And underneath Zombie was Eat Flesh. We have a generation that's driven by violence, mesmerized by zombies and cannibalism. Video games where you can play and destroy the lives of human beings without any consequence. Video games like Grand Theft Auto series, where you can do anything to anybody and you get paid for it. Assassin's Creed, where you're paid to kill, to destroy. Call of Duty, where the violence and the gore over and over and over tears down our resistance to evil. It's no wonder. It's no wonder that just recently somebody showed me, I don't have Instagram or Facebook, but somebody showed me a posting of a young preacher, so-called, a young Pentecostal holiness preacher, posting a picture of his movie ticket that he had just purchased to go see the sequel of the gore-filled movie 300. And his comment underneath was, "Awesome action-packed movie." I'm talking about desensitized to violence. How did you get there? We have become the first person player in the violence. We're no longer sitting and watching it on a screen. We're becoming it by controlling that person on the screen to do all kinds of things that break God's commandments without consequence. It's just a video game. "Oh, you're going to help me preach this morning. It's just a video game. What's the harm in it? Where can it lead?" God's word says in Psalms chapter 11, verse 5, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." The evils of gaming in the gaming world is the offspring of a demon-possessed generation. And now it's come to a holiness home near you. A young man named Adam, in a town in Connecticut, not very far from Christmas, walked into an elementary school armed with military weapons and began to take the lives of young children. We all know that story. We've heard it. The tragedy, Newtown, Connecticut. What took place at Sandy Hook Massacre. I was thinking those young people were singing in that ensemble this morning. And the power of God that was working through those lives. And I began to think about those grieving families in Connecticut. And those children who were taking out their lives ended too soon. According to the warrant of an FBI agent who was interviewed. According to the warrant, FBI agents interviewed on December 14th. Interviewed an unidentified resident who described Adam Lanza as a shut-in, an avid gamer who plays Call of Duty and rarely ever leaves the house. Adam had notched up 83,000 kills on his beloved COD, including 22,000 headshots as he trained himself and numbed himself for the horrific Sandy Hook massacre. When investigators went into his basement, they found a 6-foot spreadsheet where Adam had compiled a list of the mass murderers over the past 2 centuries. And it listed all of their victims. Authorities said, "We don't believe this is just a spreadsheet. We believe it was a score sheet. This was the work of a video gamer. And it was his intent to put his name at the very top of that list." We believe that it was why he picked an elementary school, because he could rack up on the greatest number of kills and pick up the easiest points. That is also why he didn't want to be killed by law enforcement. In the code of a gamer, if somebody kills you, they take your points. We believe that is why he killed himself. We have to understand this was a plan that he laid out for years before he took action. He mapped out how he could get the most points of all the mass murderers compiled in the last two centuries in the realm of mass killing. And he did so by killing children and then committing suicide to save his points. It's just a video game. I'm just pretending like I'm in the army. So was Adam. He wanted to be a Marine, but his mom told him, "You're probably not cut out for it." One law enforcement official said the whole thing was chilling and riveting as we discovered the fascination that Adam Lanza had with the subject of killing. The complete and total concentration. There really was no other subject matter inside his head, just this: kill, kill, kill. It really was like he was lost in one of his own sick games. This is a secular law enforcement official writing this. It was really like he was lost in one of his own sick video games. He even used police tactics that he learned from gaming. Something that you only learn in the police school. How if you're moving from room to room the way he was in Sandy Hook Elementary School, you have to reload before you get to the next room. We found 30-round magazine clips that had only used half of it. He was willing to dump 15 rounds and reload a new clip before he arrived in the next room. Adam was living in a world that wasn't real. And he lost the line of reality. And one day, it was not just a snap and he got mad and took a gun to a school. It was the work of a gamer. Somebody who lost reality. Who lost respect for human life and relationships. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. And somebody who lost his resistance to evil and to violence and destruction. I'm talking to you, young preacher. I'm talking to you, young person. How can you sit for hours on end killing and killing and killing, committing any kind of wickedness, and then expect it not to touch you inside? Expect it not to change you and warp your mind some way, somehow. It's no wonder you can go and rent an R-rated movie and sit and watch it with no guilt, because you played for hours killing and killing. I want to ask you a question. You say, "I'm not addicted." How many hours a week do you play? Whether it's your iPad, your iPhone, playing on your Android, your PlayStation, handheld, Xbox, Nintendo, whatever. You consider yourself ever to feel addicted at times? You ever get to that place where you feel like you've got to have it? Part of you. Have you ever played a video game that was rated for an older age bracket than what you're really in? How about it, young man? You're 14. Have you ever played an M-rated game? If you've played a war game, you've played an M-rated game. It's the equivalent of watching a pornographic movie, an X-rated movie. No, it's not the same. I beg to differ. Look at the reason for the ratings. Why is it rated M? Mature. The third letter of John, chapter 1, it's only one chapter, verse 11, he said, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God." I feel like today somebody really could get victory over a video game. I believe somebody could get some help that they so desperately, desperately need. Your relationships could be better for it. Your relationship with God would be better for it. I want to close with this. There was an avid gamer who just got saved 2 years ago. When he got saved, he got it good. He sold every gaming system he had, put out the big screen, sold all his gaming equipment. For you that are gamers, he was a 1462 level of prestige in Call of Duty Black Ops online gaming. Just a few levels from the ranking the highest level of prestige, which is a 1562. What does that mean? That means the game has 62 levels. If you beat it once, you're a 162. If you beat those 62 levels the second time, you're a 262. He had beat those 62 levels 14 times. That's almost 900 levels of online play. He told me, you know, it all starts with just little junk games. I only created my Facebook account so I could get the games. People invited me to play games. So I just played little junk games on Facebook and on my phone. And then before I knew it, it led to Max Payne and Twisted Metal, Grand Theft Auto, Assassin's Creed, Diablo, Call of Duty, even the horror games, zombie games. You say, I'll never get there. You don't know how far it'll lead. You give yourself over to it. You don't know. Draw a line in the sand today. Let God help you and give you conviction. He said, I was so addicted to gaming, it's all I could think about. I'm talking about a young 30s daddy. In his young 30s, had a beautiful wife and children, family. But he said, I would come home from work and the kids would come running up, Daddy, Daddy's home, Daddy. He said, I didn't say it, but in my mind I was thinking, get out of my way. As I was making my way down to the basement where my gaming room was. That's all I wanted to do. I lived, ate, breathed, slept. Online video gaming. Playing games. It was at a meeting very similar to this. The Pentecostal Fire Conferences of America Men's Advance. 2 years ago, 2012, that God began to deal with his heart and turn his life around. That man is my brother, Josh Spurlock. Since 2012, God saved him, sanctified him, filled him with the Holy Ghost, called him to preach. He's now youth pastoring over an awesome youth group. Yeah, give God glory. You say, I'm in over my head. No, you're not. God could bring you back to reality. God can wake you up into reality. My brother Josh told me just the other day, I rearranged my basement. He said, the same room that I used to spend hours video gaming, I now turned it into my study room. And that's where he's working on his master's of science in higher education, giving himself away to the Lord. What happened? He chose to step out of the gaming world and back into reality to be the dad that he wasn't being, to be the husband that he wasn't being, to be the man of God that God had called him to be. God made him into a new creation. A new creation in Christ Jesus. I just wonder this morning. I'm closing with this, but I just wonder if there's any more Josh Spurlock sitting out here this morning. You've been denying your family time. Woo! You've been turning from what God wants you to do in your life. You've been caught up in the world of gaming, a false reality, a false world. You've desensitized and numbed yourself to violence and to the filth and perversion of this world. You've been neglecting the most important things in your life, your family, your children, your friends, your youth group, your God Himself. Destroying your relationships by gaming in a world that isn't even real. Can I tell you, this could be your morning. This could be your service that God turns your life around just like He did for somebody else. He can do it for you. Would you lift your hands this morning and say, God, turn somebody's life around that's caught up in a world that isn't even real. If that's you this morning, I'm closing and I'm turning it over. But if you're caught up in a world that isn't even real, a false reality, God can set you free today. God can bring you back to reality. He has something better for you to do with your time.
He has something better for you to do with the hours that you spend. He's given you a brain for a reason. He's given you a voice for a reason. And He's looking for somebody to make a difference in this world. And you're not going to do it looking in the face of a video screen.